The reading this morning is from Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. You can find this on page 1037 of the Church Bibles. Luke chapter 8. The parable of the sower. After this, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds in the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered, and because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that through seeing they may not see. Though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stand for those who hear, but as they go on their way they are choked by life's worries, riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stand for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. This is the word of the Lord.
When it comes to seeds, what a wonder they are. These little nodules of tiny, granular-looking minutiae contain a world of life, requiring three things only: prepared, fertile soil, rain, and sunshine. To burst into life 10 to 12 weeks later, so that an array of beauty, or a harvest of golden crops, or the start of ample supplies from an allotment or veg garden can come online. Seeds from the tombs of the Egyptian pharaohs from 2,000 to 4,000 years ago, when put into soil, when brought back by Egyptologists over 100 years ago, produced wheat or corn from those times. The wonder indeed of the life of seeds, which the passage of time does not necessarily extinguish. The idea of the life of seeds is also used by us in sowing seeds of thought through teaching, conversations, and by our life examples. At times, It can feel like nothing is happening or going in or taking root when it comes to encouraging Christian faith and modes of life to offspring. And similarly, perhaps among friends, neighbors, colleagues, or whosoever. That is not new, as Luke records quite early in his gospel. For Jesus found himself up against misunderstanding, rejection, prejudice, antagonisms, plotting, to note just some of those early responses to his teaching and witness as he began preaching the coming of the kingdom of God, which he said was at the door. From Luke chapter 8, Luke tells us Jesus began to use stories spoken in parables, what we call word pictures, to open up people's thinking. He wanted people to move away from stereotype thought they had fallen into. In his use of parables, he wanted to open their eyes and ears to hear and see what God was actually doing there and then in their todays. He was encouraging a new faith expectancy. For numbers of people in Israel at that time, their hopes had become wrapped up in just seeing the occupied Roman forces driven out. Or for some, just making the best of it. Apart from a few, a remnant, like old Simeon and Anna in the Jerusalem temple precincts, who were devout in prayer and spiritual longing, there was no depth of thought from their synagogue or temple teachers as to what would spiritually refresh their Jewish religious life. Jesus, however, had come to open the eyes and ears and hearts and minds to see and hear afresh what God was actually doing and saying. But it would be at a cost which he had come to pay. For this moment is in the history of the world was the given time when God had sent him to bring salvation through the cross. God offering forgiveness of sin and new life through faith in his Son Jesus Christ, thereby making it possible for all who would turn to him to be born again, that is, to become in Jesus a new creation, now and an inheritor of the kingdom of God, an inheritor of eternal life. Through parables, Jesus is explaining in unique ways the kingdom of God's coming, something for hearts to be lifted by, becoming electrified with God-centered gladness, lives being flooded with love from above, and people's inner drives given new direction, new impetus, new energy and power from God himself to live by. Jesus had not come just to give another version of the old. And it is in the stories he tells he sets out the stall, that is, the vibrant new life and fulfilling hope which God offers through his beloved Son. At the start of this new series today, in Stories Jesus Tells, we are turned first to this story of the seeds in Luke chapter 8. And if you scan from Luke chapter 4 through to this passage in Luke 8, you will meet a variety of people whose four types of response characterize the seeds in this story parable that first fell on hardened pathways, the seeds that then fell on the stony ground with its meager, shallow soil coverage, the seeds that fell into the thorny ground already choked with the cares and wealth of this life, and the seeds that fell on the good soil. You'll meet responses to all those in the first chapters from 4 through to 8 of Luke. So let's look at the first one. In Luke 8:5, the seed that fell on the hard ground. We meet in Luke 4, for example, villagers who reject him and try to trample down what he has been ministering to them from the sacred scriptures. They show that they have no true interest in the word of God or the fullness of life it will bring. Such is the nature of the spiritual challenge as Jesus shows them the meaning from Isaiah's prophecy concerning his redeeming ministry. So they sought to kill him by chucking him over a local cliff face, then apply themselves to hearing and seeing what God is now saying and doing through his beloved Son. They are just not open to what God is doing in their day. In the second story about seed in Luke 8:6, the seed that fell upon stony soil, we meet the Pharisees, Old Testament religious scholars, who from Luke chapter 5 onwards, while initially coming out of curiosity and possible interest in Jesus, find what Jesus is saying and doing so shocking to their hidebound traditions and religious interpretations of the Old Testament that they seek to distance themselves from him. Such is their religious prejudice against the type of people Jesus was reaching out to save, whom they regarded as so outside of God's grace that even to try to reach those outsiders, as they called them, fellow Jews, was considered by them to be contrary to being of God, let alone a prophet of God, as Jesus might have been seen by them. So the Pharisees begin from Luke 5 to write Jesus off and later regard him as being only worthy of death. Such is the stony soil. In Luke 8, the third one, the seed that fell among thorns, we meet in Luke 7, verse 31 to 35, a generation, a group, a generation of people closed into their own life preferences. And when it comes to it, we're told they don't want John the Baptist, who called for repentance in preparation for the new day of God that was coming. Oh, they didn't want that kind of disturbance. And then they didn't want Jesus either, who was offering new life, for they were not prepared to see that he had come to bring the kingdom of God in afresh to them, to give them forgiveness and new life, as those remarkable healings in Luke's early chapters revealed. The man who was brought on the stretcher, "Your sins are forgiven. Rise. Take up your bed." They weren't prepared to acknowledge any of that. So a generation, as they're called here, allowed the seed of the new life of the kingdom Jesus was proclaiming to be choked from them. For they had no eyes or ears or desire to turn from the lives they were leading. In Luke 8:8, the seed that fell on the good soil, we meet in chapter 5, some fishermen, four of them, prepared to go totally with him without a backward glance. We meet a leper shortly afterwards who comes seeking healing, asking for it. We meet those four friends willing to carry their sick friend to Jesus, and they discover how new life and forgiveness in Jesus works. In chapter 6, the disciple group grows to 12. Not that they have spiritually arrived, but give themselves to Jesus so that stage by stage their fruitfulness can grow, while still, as we see in the Gospels, getting their responses wrong and muddled, earning at times Jesus' sharp corrections. In chapter 7, a Roman centurion, a man of war, a man who undoubtedly had used his sword in battle, exhibits eyes and ears that are open, exercising faith for his servant's sake and benefit, which earns from Jesus's his huge admiration. And we meet a woman who publicly sheds tears over Jesus' feet, and then anoints them with an expensive perfume she has. And in the so doing, she hears Jesus' wonderful words to guide the rest of her life by: "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And as Luke 8 opens, a company of women who bind themselves to the discipleship group, who leave off being at home in order to be with Jesus to provide for the needs of the discipleship group, must have had some very patient husbands. In those examples I've drawn on, Luke has prepared the ground in chapters 5 to 7 to help us to understand what Jesus is getting at in talking about seed that falls on good soil. The stories are examples of just what it is Jesus was looking for. They tell us about the width of the whosoever who come and find from and in Jesus the new life he has come to freely give to all who will turn to him in faith. That Jesus welcomes you, whoever you are, is the clear message that comes across. The unfruitful soil ultimately never has to be the last word, for Jesus has come as Lord of life to enable change, to bless change, and to speak his word of salvation, forgiveness, new life, and peace. One challenge to the church from this parable today to conclude with. What about those who pass by our daily lives, who rub shoulders with us? What sort of soil for the seed of God's word is being sown today in our communities that they are up against? And perhaps not from self-choice necessarily. Can we do anything to plough up those rough places? Can we do something about the stony, unyielding areas? Can we weed out the thorns which can so hurt and harm? Is there something we could contribute for the seed to be sown in greater effect among the many our lives come across? May I suggest it really begins within us? Having, in motoring terms, an MOT on our effective growth and performance, in how much fruit the Word of God is being encouraged to be produced in our own lives, or how much we are allowing it to produce in our own lives. The message to the church from Jesus in the book of Revelation, which stands out so clearly in its first three chapters, is to listen to what the Holy Spirit is speaking into our church and our lives, and to then be living that out, or as Jesus once indicated to his parents, to be about his and our Father's heavenly business. It's a good thing to be able to have personal reviews, and I'm sure David, our rector, would be more than willing to do that with you or to point you to where to do it. Let us pray. Lord God, the world and its communities are harvest fields that you have a care and longing for. For you so loved the world that you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever turns to him will not perish but receive eternal life. As we pray for our communities, give us a renewed understanding of this parable of the seeds, and how our lives could be used by you to enable other lives to find in Jesus all that turns their lives around too. Lord, use our lives to be channels of your grace, your mercy, and your love. In Jesus' name, amen.